Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're with us on a Minnesota station, on our national broadcast, or listening on your favorite podcast platform, we are glad that you're here. On today's show, we get information about the 20th annual Minnesota Veterans Career Fair, have a conversation about mental health, and hear about the Memorial Day weekend events at the state veteran cemeteries. In the studio with me now from the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development is Ray Duha and Shannon Sprouse. Ray is the Director of Veterans Employment Services, and Shannon is a Senior Veterans Employment Representative. Ray and Shannon, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Well, you guys are both veterans of the show. I had you on not too long ago to talk about the great things you're doing. And the reason we've got you in today is we want to talk about the career fair. How about if we just do this real quick? Give me the very quick down and dirty intro of yourself and what brought you the deed. And I'll start with you, Shannon.
Yeah, I was a 22-year Army vet. I retired after 20 years of active service in 2016. Found myself back in Minnesota, unemployed, looking for work. And it was an awesome transition for me to move into state employment. Just a very smooth way to still
give back or something.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
awesome. Yeah, good to have you here. And Ray, what about you?
Thanks for having us on. Again, thank you, Military Radio, for inviting us. My name is Ray Duha, Director of Veterans Employment Services at DEED. I left the Navy about 18 years ago. I served in combat search and rescue, and then I showed up in Minnesota. I went to a job center, like a career force center, and that's I met the Veterans Employment Specialist who, because of that person, I am here today getting a job. And 18 years later, I'm serving here, the Minnesota veterans in the state.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Now, we're going to put Shannon in the hot seat here for most of the segment. I only have you here for one segment. But, Ray, before we do that, I'm hoping you might be able to explain to us, to our audience, you know, why a Veterans Career Fair? Really, what is the goal? And, you know, who are you looking to attend or have attend the career fair? And really, why is it so important?
Well, the Career Fair is a wonderful platform. It helps bridge the gap, and that gap is service members transition from the military into civilian, and that transition is not always straightforward. It's fraught with challenges. We provide the opportunity for the veterans to come into the job fair to meet hand-picked employers who are ready to hire them and provide them with an opportunity with family-sustaining wages and upward mobility. The job fair is critical even for those who have jobs who are underemployed. We encourage all service members, veterans, active duty, reserve, guard, and veterans in general to come to our job fair. Even if you have a job, please come on over, visit. It's a great opportunity to meet some wonderful employers that are ready to hire you.
And I think what I heard somebody say during our pre-show meeting was, you know, come to the fair not to find the job but do that networking. And the rest of it will come along. So I think it's great advice. There's going to be a lot of people there. And so let's shift gears then. I'll talk to you, Shannon, a little bit about the types of people that are going to be there, because there's certain employers or industries that I know you have to hand select, really, to allow them to come to this event. This is a pretty big deal. So talk to us a little bit about what someone can expect to see from the represented communities or employers or industries?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have a great mix of employers at this event, and that's going to range from anywhere from manufacturing, IT, healthcare, public safety, transportation, skilled trades, and various government entities, state and local primarily. We're seeing a lot of growing interest, too, from emerging industries like cybersecurity, clean energy, advanced manufacturing, too. And a lot of these tech-driven logistics. So these employers, we handpick them, we vet them, we make sure that they have jobs now to offer for offer veterans. And they're really, really focused on finding that veteran talent and bringing real opportunities to this event.
Yeah, and so it's great to have, one, industries or companies there that have jobs available, but they want to be there. And I would assume they really know that there's some tight competition to be able to come to this event as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We have hundreds of companies that reach out to try and be a part of this event. Like I said, we vet every one of them. They are hand-selected. We invite them specifically because of the positions that they have, the industries that they represent, and we pride ourselves on ensuring that these are veteran-friendly organizations that want to hire vets right now.
And how many different companies do you figure you'll have on site?
It'll be just over 100.
Okay. That's a pretty large pool of companies available for those seeking jobs or those who already have jobs, but maybe they're underemployed, as Ray was saying, to come out and have a conversation. You know, one of the things that we don't often get to hear, you know, we hear about, of course, the event going on and, you know, the 20th year and all that stuff. But, you know, where's the proof in the pudding? And I'm wondering if you have a story, you know, a quick story of someone that came to one of these events and found what they're looking for.
Yeah. You know, every year we hear from employers and job seekers alike, veterans, that they were able to connect and find meaningful employment. We had one that we wrote a story about it recently. Her name is Sarah. She's a Black Hawk pilot with the Minnesota Army National Guard. She was laid off just shortly before coming to the career fair last year. She connected with a company, TMI Coatings, and from there, she was interviewed, she was hired, and she absolutely loves the career that she's now pursuing with TMI Coatings. And that's just one example. We have, you know, countless others that they're really able to connect with these employers, have good conversations with them on the spot, and in some cases have interviews scheduled for a later time.
And do the companies typically report back to you that, hey, we hired because of the career fair?
Yeah, we reach out to every company that participates in the event. We ask them how was their experience and what did they gain from it. We have yet to have a single company that finds it a negative experience or not worth their time. Every one of them find a lot of value and all get good quality leads and candidates from this event.
And typically you said 100 employers or companies there. In general, do you know how many job seekers are coming through your event as well?
Yeah, in recent years, we've had about 350 each year.
Okay.
We're definitely expecting more this year, and it's going to be a very worthwhile event, not just for the employers, but for the job seekers too. There's a lot of additional things for them at this event.
And with that number of different companies, there really probably isn't a reason why someone couldn't find something that might interest them or something that they'd be qualified to do. So important for people to come out. Let's talk about people coming out, though. How does somebody prepare for this, right? Do they just show up in their jeans and a T-shirt and go around like they're shopping at a traditional trade show? Or what do you tell someone who's going to come out to one of these career fairs?
While they certainly can show up that way, we definitely don't recommend it. We would prefer that you plan ahead. You know, there's just a few simple steps that you can take to make this a very viable and worthwhile event for you. Bring updated copies of your resume, several updated copies. And I stress updated. Make sure it's updated. Dress for the job that you want. Now, if you are in the skilled trades, you probably don't need to come in a suit and tie. But just know the industry that you're a part of, that you want to pursue, and dress appropriately for that. We also ask that, you know, everybody hears about the elevator speech. You know, you don't have to put a lot of effort into it. Just practice your introduction. This is who I am. This is my service. And this is what I'm looking for. These are my career goals. With that, they'll be able to connect really, really well with the employers at each of their booths.
I would imagine that it's extremely important for people to get out of that introverted shell, too. You have to be able to approach somebody behind that that's behind that table representing that company and introduce yourself, because after all, you need something from them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We ask that you prepare to have conversations. These employers are there to talk with the veterans.
Yeah.
That's what they want. They want to connect. It's not just walk up to a booth, grab some flyers, and walk on to the next one. No, you're there to have conversations and connect, and that's what these employers want too.
And where can someone go to get more information about the career fair?
Yeah, great question. Actually, the easiest way would just to be to do a web search and look up Minnesota Veterans Career Fair 2026. We're advertising it pretty heavily. You'll have no problems finding it from that. But if you want to get to the website, just go to careerforce.mn.gov. From there, you'll find links to get to the right place.
And I know Rose will make sure that that's part of our show notes so people get that. Shannon, thanks so much for spending a few moments with us. Ray, 20 seconds, final thoughts for you.
Come to the job fair May 20th on Wednesday next week. We have over 100 employers, complimentary LinkedIn photography, resume review, interview preparation. We have service providers on site. Don't miss out this great opportunity. We look forward to seeing you.
Awesome. All right, Ray, Shannon, you guys have a great rest of the day. Thanks again for spending time with us on Minnesota Military Radio. And make sure you all listening, if you're in the market, get out there, check out their career fair. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me in the studio now from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is Krista Stananis and Chase Arden. Krista is a community health analyst, and Chase is a veterans community health coordinator. Again, both from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Krista, welcome back. You're a veteran of the program. You've been here before. And Chase, welcome as the rookie. Good to have you guys here.
Hi, Doug. Thanks for having us today.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome. Well, let's get the introductions out of the way real quick. I'll start with you, Krista. Just give us, the 30-second. Who are you and what brought you to the MDVA?
Sure. No problem. My name is Krista Stananis. I'm a community health analyst here at the MDVA. I've been working here for about 4 years. I previously worked in public health and injury and violence prevention with the Minnesota Department of Health. And prior to that, I was active duty Air Force security forces.
Awesome. And you did about 6 years, right?
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Feels like a long time ago.
Well, thank you for your service. I appreciate that. And what about you, Chase?
Hey, my name is Chase Arden. I work with the MDVA in southern Minnesota. For the most part, a little bit of the Central West. I was in the service active duty for 12 years. Well, last couple was in the Guard. I'm just really passionate with like transitioning soldiers out of active service into civilian life. I struggled a bit with it myself. Enough I became a keynote speaker traveling around a little bit in Minnesota and talking about mental health bias and just a veteran experience. And that was what really drew me into the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs to help with this amazing cause that we're working on.
All right. Well, thank you for your service as well, both of you, and thanks for being here. Mental health isn't a topic that's generally super easy to talk about, mostly because people don't like to talk about it or share, maybe some of those things that they might be going through. And I get you for two segments, so we're going to really try to drill into some things here about the work that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is doing, how you play a role in that. So let's start with you, Krista, and just talk about the suicide prevention aspect, because this is a big thing. We know it's a governor's priority. We know the MDVA, is trying to get after it as well with different trainings and things like that. But we also know that according to whatever statistic you look at, maybe it's still 100 Minnesota veterans a year are taking their lives. So talk to us a little bit about that suicide prevention program.
Sure. So we started with the Governor's Challenge when we received funding nationally to work on veteran suicide prevention in Minnesota, and our team has grown. So we are expanding out more into communities. So what I do for the veteran suicide prevention team is provide support in regards to any data or statistics, really narrowing down locations that we are seeing more suicide deaths in, and really just trying to get on into the community with a lot of our work here.
So you mentioned, collecting data and sharing data. So
can you
talk about what some of that data is, especially obviously in Minnesota, because that's what we're talking about. But what do you see as you analyze that data? What do you see as some of those trends, as it relates to suicide?
Yeah, so what we're seeing here specific to Minnesota is that each year Minnesota loses around 100 veterans to suicide. We know that our number of veterans in Minnesota is decreasing, but that number continues to remain the same, around 100 each year. We are concerned about our aging population, older white males who live in rural areas with access to firearms. We are seeing many of our suicide deaths involve firearm injuries, and as well as in the metro here. But our rural areas really where we're seeing a higher rate and a higher overall number.
So, you know, what do you do with that data, though, right? I mean, it's one thing to collect it, to analyze it, to say here's where we believe that we have some issues. Here's some identified points or places in rural Minnesota, for example. But how do you take action with that data? How do you partner with others to try to get after the suicide issue?
Exactly. So we are trying to use the data to use it actionably and move some things forward here in Minnesota. So one of the ways that we do that is we are working on advancing some policies that we have, programs. The data that we have access to is shared broadly with our partners as well as our internal team here, and then we decide where it needs to go, where budgeting needs to be available for programs to use. The Minnesota Department of Health has statutory authority for suicide prevention in the state, and they lead it statewide. The MDVA is leading the veteran suicide prevention efforts here. We have a collaborative that meets quarterly. It's the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, a suicide prevention collaborative, and it brings together all organizations that work in the mental health and suicide prevention realm, not just veteran-specific. It includes anyone that would also like to be a part of it, whether it's like first responder, last responders. So we work to partner with other organizations that are doing the same work. Try not to recreate anything if we don't need to. We advertise toolkits from the VA, from the Minnesota Department of Health. And how you had mentioned that May is a month where we're focusing on mental health. And there are toolkits available currently right now as May is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Are there any specific policies or programs that you can just recall top of mind that were a direct result of the work that you guys have been doing? Because I think it's important to try to share, you know, because we're spending money and resources, and we know, you know, saving one life is worth it. But, you know, people I think generally want to know, but here's some of the things that we've been able to actually change.
Sure. So this past year, legislature supported us to create a comprehensive veteran suicide prevention plan. And that kind of lays out some of the information that we're seeing from the data side, as well as what are actionable items that we're working on next. So some of the things that we push out is providing training, ensuring our veterans, service members, and their families are aware of resources that are available, not just statewide or nationally, but down into the nitty-gritty part of their communities. We're using it to be boots on the ground. We're trying to touch communities, have our veterans stay connected to other veterans and organizations. We're still handing out gun locks to anybody that has requests for those, as well as coasters that we have available on our website for request. Now, why would the suicide prevention team be interested in handing out coasters? It's part of our partnership with VFWs and American Legions. On the coasters is the 988 crisis line, as well as some LinkedIn information for anyone who may not be experiencing a mental health crisis but may have some questions and want to know where to go and where to reach out.
Well, that's was the next thing I want to ask you about, is how using this data drives some of your outreach you know, events or efforts, right? Because, again, having the data is one thing, but being able to do something with it is extremely important. So you're telling me that things like a partnership with the VFW is an outreach. Oh, by the way, here are some coasters that you can now use to drive someone to the 988, you know, if there's a crisis or they know someone who might have.
Exactly. And the data that we have, it's really more demographic information on where our veterans are living, playing, eating, and then unfortunately where they're dying by suicide. So just trying to create targeted efforts into those areas where we're seeing high numbers, higher rates. Sometimes we get questions from people in the community who say, hey, you know, what is going on in my community? And then we are trying to either have something local in that area or, you know, working with that community, whether it's local public health, the county's Veterans Service Office in that area. I've had questions from family members of veterans who were able to get my contact information, reach out to me directly. There really is no wrong door for asking for help for mental health.
And Chase, you want to jump in, I could tell.
I do. It's because of Krista's amazing work with the data that I'm able to go out there and be the boots on the ground to reach out to those more targeted areas following that data. I go out there, I speak with the county veteran service officers, I work with the DAV, the Legions, the VFW. I'm the one that's delivering those by hand if I can, because we're just all so passionate about that work. I go out there and I'm just like, what does your community need? What is your community doing? I'll like work with their coalitions and collaborations, whether it's just city for the county or the state. And I'm just like, here's what I think what we can provide, or here's maybe something you're missing. I try to give them that veteran outlook as well with the data that we also have. And it's just all of us outreach are going out there and just trying to follow this data to target those areas. And then even the ones like the rural area sometimes think they're forgotten about versus the cities. And we just want them to know, like, I will show up, you know, give me a call, reach me by email, and I will be there, you know, at your door to help you. So that's what we're trying to do and succeed in.
That's awesome. All right. Great conversation. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll dive into a little bit more about some partnerships and stakeholders. All right. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is Krista Stenanis and Chase Arden. We're here talking about suicide prevention. We're talking about mental health. And Chase, as we went into the break, you were, you know, kind of touching on getting out and visiting with different veteran service organizations, the CVSOs. What other partners or stakeholders in the area that you covered you really want to try to be involved with and in touch bases with?
Yeah. So aside from the CVSOs, we work a lot with the Minnesota Department of Health because they're also working on the Suicide Prevention Task Force. I'm actually one of the co-chairs for their service members, veterans, and families subcommittee for that. So we try to use that data and whatnot as well going towards that. We work with the VA. You know, we work with the VFWs, the DAV. We want to partner with all of these veteran organizations, you know, for-profit or non-profit. Doesn't matter, as long as they're putting out a good message and doing the right thing. We want them to know that, like, you know, veterans aren't alone, and it's like, how can we help support you?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the things that you were tasked with, because you've only been with the MDVA a short amount of time, but one of the things you did was you developed a five-year outreach strategy. Now, some might say 5 years, God, that seems like a long time. You know, I mean, we should just get after this thing right now. But, you know, maybe you can kind of explain the purpose of this five-year strategy and what it's going to do or what its intended use is.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish I could sit here and say that we could solve this tomorrow. You know, I would gladly lose my job for that effort. But no, it's just this five-year approach allows us to move more intentionally, starting with building relationships, then strengthening the partnerships, and eventually creating a consistent connected network across regions. The reason I started building this was following our own five-year plan that we put up to the state and whatnot. It's just like, how can I do my role the best? Because we are a newer team for some of us outreach. We have our new Northern coordinator is going to be starting soon. And it's just like, how can we follow this data? How can we be more targeted? And how can we outreach to these communities in the best way? And we've even talked about like setting up hubs, like for example, like for Southeast, South Central, and Southwest Minnesota, like what's the best hub, you know, for those? And then how can we ripple out that effect going off of those hubs to everywhere around? So this way, no region is forgotten. This way, we can outreach to everyone equally to the best of our ability with our small team, also working with those key stakeholders and partners that we're allied with.
Yeah, and I would imagine that relationship is so darned important. And I wonder if you might be able to share, like, how have you already seen success with the partnerships? Because it's important to reach everybody where they're at, but you can't do it.
Right. So I think I use the CVSOs a lot. They have their own suicide prevention personnel as well. His name is Dave Gergen of Lyon County, an amazing CVSO. It's like, how can we get the trainings out to the CVSOs? They're the ones that are boots on the ground, the frontline fighters, seeing veterans every single day coming to their office, because a lot of the times those veterans that are coming into their office are not in the best states. They need their benefits. They need employment or whatever, and they're looking for those CVSOs for help. So we want to offer, we're working really closely with Dave to be like, hey, how can we provide more training for the CVSOs so this way they're better trained, better educated to assist these veterans in their communities? And we also want to build it off like, what does your community specifically need? Not just like an overall blanket over everything. We want to tailor it to every single place differently to whatever they need.
Now, Krista mentioned toolkits. So maybe talk to us a little bit about what a toolkit is and how someone could go about getting their hands on a toolkit to help them in, you know, the prevention of suicide and really supporting mental health. Okay, we're going to defer it right over to Krista. I saw the look.
Yeah, so typically when you think of a toolkit, you think of something like physical that you're going to pull out of your backpack or your pocket. In this case, it's websites with information. I think we had sent you the links for the VA's toolkit and the Minnesota Department of Health's toolkit. It's a website with information. There's resources on there, you know, a scenario. What do I do if I'm in this situation? How can I help my friend who might be experiencing this, you know, suicidal experience, it's not, we don't want to just focus on the mental health crisis. We want to focus on how can we prevent our veterans from having these experiences, whether that be issues with finances, barriers with accessing food or, you know, good housing or employment. You know, there's so many things that can contribute to someone having those experiences. So these toolkits just have a lot of information online on our websites. We have a newsletter. Well, the MDVA has a newsletter, not our team specifically. But if you go on those websites, you'll see all the good information out there.
You know, Chase, I would imagine that as you're out and you're visiting, you know, you've been very open about your own personal story. You talked in your introduction about doing some speaking and things like that to really share, you know, where you are at and the help that you've gotten. I would imagine that's very beneficial as you're interacting with those stakeholders, with those CVSOs, with the different sites that you go to and talk about the tools, for example, or sharing data and saying you really want to help. You must build some pretty immediate rapport by doing that.
Absolutely. I've even gone to a couple of colleges with our deputy commissioner and spoke to graduating nursing just to tell them about like that veteran experience, especially for those going into healthcare, social work, or mental health in general. Just I make myself intentionally vulnerable. So this way we can make those what are known right now as uncomfortable conversations comfortable. So this way we can normalize it and people aren't trying to hide their feelings or mask their feelings, but this way they can go and get the help that is needed. So I tell my story over and over again, and sometimes at my own detriment, I'm willing to recognize that, but it's just I want to do it because I have been there in the deepest, darkest parts at times of my life, and I just know that struggle, and I guess that's what made me so passionate. And I figured I have a gift for talking, and I want to share that message with everyone else in any way that I can. I work a lot with like other staff as well. I've even gone to a couple of colleges by myself and just talk about mental health stigmas and bias, not even if it's necessarily about veterans, because I want to help communities in general, and I can help that ripple effect. Again, if I'm reaching out to these students or personnel or any sort of workers or people, and I know that they'll hopefully share this story out. Even if it's just one or two that's sharing it out, those numbers will grow as it ripples out.
Must be therapeutic for you as well as you get to do that. Krista, I want to come over to you again. You know, you talked about the toolkit. You talked about the resources. And I'm just wondering if, you know, because Chase mentioned the stigma, right? In your interactions with people, with different entities, with the distribution of the toolkits and so on and so forth. Do you feel like the stigma is, in fact, kind of going away?
I think it's getting better. I think that people who are employed in mental health work and suicide prevention work, I think that that number is growing with our team expansion just being one of the ways that you can see that. Conversations are happening. Conversations about mental health is happening at VFWs and American Legions. You know, not all of our veterans hang out there, but for the ones that do, and conversations are happening in communities, whether it be at the post office or, you know, at the hair salon. We're just trying to advertise 988 everywhere that we can, LinkFed everywhere that we can, and just making sure that our veterans know that there is support there and, you know, your community wants to help you if you're having a hard time.
So I've got we've got less than 2 minutes here. But Krista, if there's a veteran out there or maybe they know somebody who's in a time of crisis, what do you tell them? How do we get help to that person in need?
Sure. When you know someone or you yourself are having a difficult time and experiencing a mental health crisis, please know that you can call, text, or chat with 988 and press 1 if you are a service member, veteran, or a family member. If you press 1 after you dial 988, it will connect you to a trained specialist who is their focus is to work with the veteran population only. You may get someone who is a former veteran who has served, and, you know, veterans, they like to receive help from other veterans. And if it's not going to be another veteran, then hopefully somebody who's been trained in on a veteran culture.
And what I'm hearing you say is don't be afraid to ask. Just reach out, ask for help. It's okay. Chase, 20 seconds, final thoughts from you.
Just my final thoughts would be just looking ahead to September, where we are hosting our very first Minnesota Veteran Suicide Prevention Summit. The summit will be held at the Everett McClay VFW Post 1296 in Bloomington, Minnesota. The theme for this year is Pathways to Care, Navigating the Journey Together, highlighting the importance of military competent connections that support veterans and their families across the continuum of care.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Chase and Krista. Where can someone go if they want to get more information about the resources that might be available for them?
You can either connect to the links that we had shared with you or go to MDVA's website or the Federal VA's website for their toolkit. The Minnesota Department of Health, who owns statutory authority for suicide prevention in the state, has a ton of resources and information on there. You can also reach out to LinkVet, Minnesota specific, or you can dial 988 and press 1. There's no emergency or mental health issue that is too small. Even if you just have a question, please call.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much, Krista Chase. Appreciate you stopping in and spending some time with Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is the Deputy Director of Memorial Affairs, Mr. Tim Uecker. Tim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good day. Glad to be here.
Good day to you as well. Tim, it's good to have you in the studio. I don't know if you can say you drew the short straw or not, but I think there was a coin flip between you or David to join us on our live Memorial Day show. And so I don't know if you won or lost, but here you are today spending some time with us. So this is your first time on the show, so I just want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself and to tell us a little bit about your military career and what led you to the MDVA.
Well, thank you. So I'm a 34-year Air Force vet, recently retired from the Air Force and came over to MDVA 3.5 years ago. Became a veterans program management analyst, and then transitioned over to my current job February of this year as the deputy director for Memorial Affairs, where I'm responsible for the 4 state veteran cemeteries. Returned to Minnesota upon retirement, transitioned over.
Now, you were pretty fortunate in that you retired, and you're able to come right to the MDVA. I think I was there on day one that you were hired, got to work very closely with you. You've done some fantastic work, and of course now in the deputy director role over at the with the Memorial Affairs, so obviously working with David Swantek. But one, thank you for your service. Appreciate what you're doing. So let's talk about your role as the deputy director, specifically the 4 state veteran cemeteries. They're each different, obviously different locations. Maybe you can just briefly tell us a little bit about maybe the history and describe them just a little bit.
Absolutely. So the state veteran cemetery system consists of 4 locations at Little Falls, Preston, Duluth, and Redwood Falls. The first of the 4 opened in 1994 at Little Falls. It has over 11,000 interments to date. Preston then opened in 2015. They have about 1,650 interments to date. Duluth opened in 2018, about 1,400 interments. And then Redwood Falls just opened up in 2023. They have about 150 interments to date. So across the 4 locations, we have about 14,200 interments.
I was with you the day that Redwood Falls opened. We had the big ceremony, and if you remember correctly, it was one of the hotter days that we could recall in Minnesota. What a fun time. But what a beautiful cemetery, and all of them are just as nice.
Absolutely. And the cemeteries are chosen to reflect the environment of that area of the state. And, yes, they are all different, all very unique, but beautifully laid out. And it's very obvious when you enter onto those cemetery grounds that you are entering hallowed ground, or the location where we are honoring those who have served.
And as a deputy director, I'm assuming that you have to go out and spend time at each of these locations. I mean, that's where your people are working. You know, you don't have to say it, but do you have a favorite one you like to go to?
They're all my favorite for different reasons.
All right.
Absolutely.
That question was for Rob Gross, by the way. So, you're right. They're all nice. They're all beautiful and all well-maintained. So let's talk about that real quick, because often people will get confused, a state veteran cemetery versus Fort Snelling, for example, a national cemetery. Can you please just tell us, is there a difference in the way in which they're maintained, the way in which they're upkept, the person that's eligible to be buried in either one?
There is absolutely no difference in eligibility, because we largely follow the National Cemetery Administration eligibility standards for admittance to our state veteran cemetery. There is some legislation currently going through the current legislative session that may open up some of that eligibility for Minnesota National Guard and Reservists, for instance, but we do follow National Cemetery Administration guidelines for the most part. Part of what we are doing is maintaining to that National Shrine Standard that is part of the compliance program, that national compliance program. Even given our fiscally constrained budget environment we're in right now, it's the ability to maintain to that very, very high level of standard that is imposed to us, imposed on us. That is just the baseline, but the pride and dedication of our personnel take it just to that, absolutely to that next level. And again, like I said earlier, it's a matter of simply when you come on there to one of our locations, you know, you can see the pride and dedication of the staff to maintain those locations, this hallowed ground where we are interring our veterans and their dependents.
We have maybe about 3.5 minutes here together, and I want to make sure we get the opportunity to talk about programming that you're projecting to have over Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. Each of the four state cemeteries, veteran cemeteries, are going to have a program. Can you talk about time, what someone might expect if they were to attend one of these programs?
Yeah, so we intentionally hold our Memorial Day ceremonies on Sunday, May 24th at each. They run concurrently at each of the four locations. And again, they are intentionally on Sunday to allow participation of state and local officials and veteran service organizations on Sunday for us, as well as participating in their local and community organization ceremonies on the actual federal holiday. Music will start at each of these locations at 1:30 p.m., and the actual program will start at 2 p.m. at each of these locations. Duluth, Preston, Little Falls, and Redwood Falls.
Is there any type of an RSVP required for someone to attend?
Absolutely not.
Just show up at any of those locations, and they'll have a great ceremony on the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. Again, like you said, freeing up that time so that someone might be able to enjoy a different program at one of their local cemeteries, or maybe even at Fort Snelling if they're local. One of the things I do want to make sure we talk about before I have you give out the website where people can get more information, but there's somebody that's listening and they don't know whether or not they're eligible. So how does somebody find that out? Who do they talk to? What do they do to know if they're eligible? And then can they pre-qualify for burial?
So at each of our locations, contact the cemetery representative. Start at our website at minnesotaveteran.org/CEM. That'll give the contact information for our cemetery representative. You can talk to that individual, and they will start you through the checklist, the worksheet regarding eligibility. Yes, pre-registration, pre-application for burial is available, and it's actually better for you and the family, or for the veteran, their spouse, and their families, if they do that pre-registration ahead of time. So when the time comes, the unfortunate event that a veteran or their spouse passes, The family does not have to struggle to come up with that information, their DD-214, to know what their loved one really wanted at that time for when it comes time to be interred at a cemetery.
So MinnesotaVeteran.org/SEM. And then what about for the big events? I've got 30 seconds with you, Tim. More information about the event for Memorial Day on the 24th of May.
So if you go to MinnesotaVeterans.org, go to the events page. On that website, you should be able to find the Memorial Day information at each of the locations. By the way, carpooling is very encouraged if you decide to go to these any of these events. But they are absolutely open to the public and no fee required.
Awesome. Go check out the event. See the grounds where we take care of our veterans. Hey, Tim, appreciate you for coming in today. Have a great rest of the day. Thanks for being here on Minnesota Military Radio. All right, before we close out the show, just a quick reminder that the next Food Pantry for Veterans is Tuesday, the 19th of May at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. It's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This event takes place every third Tuesday of the month. Thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your support. We strive to bring you meaningful, informative content each week. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions. Visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us. You can also catch up on past shows on the Minnesota Military Radio podcast, wherever it is that you listen, and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Be sure to tune in next week when we check in with the Minneapolis VA and learn about two important programs that extend care beyond the medical center. We'll be talking about home-based primary care and the medical foster home program. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. Have a productive week. Take a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can all enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.